Okay, so we're going to start from the two dots on the bottom of Nun Gimel and Beis. So the Mishnah said, right, a few lines earlier, right, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Acha Tenesakin Es Hashotos. Rabbi Yeshua made a comment regarding the first half of the Mishnah, where the Chachamim were trying to realign the count of Nida and Ziva for women, specifically for women who seem to have messed up the count. So the Gemara asks, Hani Shotos Ninu? Toos Ninu. The Gemara says these women aren't Shotos, they're simply mistaken, meaning that they forgot what part of the cycle they were up to, whether they were a Nida or a Zav. Now, in order to appreciate and understand this next Gemara, which is going to be incredibly complicated, you just need a little bit of background. It's things that we've spoken about a lot before, but it just bears to keep in mind as we see this Gemara. So this is all discussing on a level of De'oraisa. Right? Mi De'oraisa, if a woman bleeds during those 7 days of Nidas, so even if she bleeds for 7 days straight, we're on Mindalad right now. So even if she bleeds for seven straight days, technically she can go to the mikveh that night as long as she stops bleeding. Again, midrabanan today we don't do that, but midoraisa, even if she bleeds for 7 days, she goes to the mikveh. Whereas the following 11 days are potential days of ziva. Meaning, if she bleeds for only one or two of those days, all she has to do is observe one day of what's called shimur, meaning she has to observe one clean day. Then she goes to the mikveh the following night. During the 11 days of Ziva, if she bleeds for three consecutive days, then she becomes a Zava Gedola. She has to observe Shiva Nikiyah. So we have to keep all these things in mind as we go on in this Gemara. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Tani Toast. You're right. The Mishnah should have said that Rabbi Yoshua says that the Chachamim should be tried to fix those women who messed up the count. Desanya. Yomecha Tamei V'yomecha Tohar Mishameshes Shmini V'leilo Imos. Now, when the Gemara uses the terms Tamei and Tohar here, it doesn't mean that the woman is Tamei or Tohar. Rather, it means whether she's bleeding or not bleeding. So the Gemara says, let's say you have a woman whose cycle is such that one day she bleeds, the next day she doesn't, and it continues to alternate like that. So the Gemara says that she can have relations with her husband on Shmini V'leilo Imo, which means the night of the eighth, the eighth day, and the night following the eighth. Now, the reason why that's okay, if you think about it, is because, during the days of Nida, so the second she bleeds, she's a Nida, and then 7 days later, once she stops bleeding, she goes to the mikvah. Now, if she bleeds if her last day of bleeding was day seven, and the next time she's not going to bleed until day nine, so as long as she's tahor for that one day, she can have relations that night, and then also the night following the eighth, and then by the morning of the ninth, when she's bleeding again, she obviously now has to observe a full day of shimur afterwards. And the Gemara points out also, the Gemara says, so if you do this calculation, so out of a total of 18 days, she can be with her husband for four of those days. However, if she started bleeding on the night of the ninth, meaning the night before, as opposed to the day of the ninth, so then she can only be with her husband the night of the eighth and the day of the eighth, but not the night following the eighth, which is the night of the ninth. In other words, the Gemara that we said before, what?
She's bleeding at that point.
Well, right. In other words, this heter that the woman can be with her husband the night of the eighth, the day of the eighth, and the night of the ninth is assuming that she's bleeding during the day of the ninth. If she bleeds the night of the ninth, then obviously she can't be with her husband at that point.
She's one day on, one day off.
So how do you determine
which is Nida and which is
Ziva? Okay, that's a separate issue, which is Gemara does not address. That's a general question. No. There's a general machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about how to establish at what point in her life does a woman start calculating. Is it when she first gets her period? What happens after she has a baby? So all those things are factors. They're not really so relevant to this Gemara. This Gemara is assuming that the woman had a starting point and then somewhere along the line something happened. Again, this is not talking about a woman who doesn't know what she's up to. The question is that halachically we're trying to figure out what her status is.
Okay.
Basmana said none of this applies because today, even if a woman is a Nida, she has to also observe Shiva Nikiyah. This was assuming that Nida Oraisa.
If
a woman who has a pattern like that, so it's going to become significantly more complicated if that happens today. Yeah, it's going to become much more complicated. Yeah. We'll see. The Gemara is going to have about almost every single permutation of these cases. Okay. So that's the first scenario in the Gemara. The Gemara now has another case. Shnei yamim tameyin shnei yamim tahorin. Mishameshes. Okay, guys, done. Shnei yamim tameyin shnei yamim tahorin. Mishameshes shmini u'shnei masar v'shisha asar v'yesrim. Now, this is case number two. This woman bleeds 2 days on, 2 days off. So the Gemara says in this case, she could have relations on days 8, 12, 16, and 20. And again, the assumption being that her cycle is going to end after the 18th day, because she has 7 days of Nidus and then 11 days of Ziva. So the Gemara asks, but if that's true, that the Shamish Nami B'Chaser, if this whole cycle is only 18 days, she should also be permitted to have relations on the 19th day, because that's the beginning of the next cycle. If she's not bleeding yet, so then we should allow her to have relations on the 19th as well. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Zoso Meres, Gargaron Disnan Aser. So comes Rav Sheshes and says, no, that if you look at, there's a Mishnah later on, the Ayin Beis, that discusses a case called a Gargaron, right? A Gargaron in this context literally means a glutton, right? But here, a Gargaron refers to a man, or the woman actually, who's too impatient to wait for Shkia of that day before having relations. So the question is that actually usher to do? Is that actually a problem? So according to Rav Sheshes, when the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis discusses the concept of a Gargaron, it's not merely something... Guys, it's not merely something which you're not supposed to do, it's actually usher to do. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't mention the heter of having relations on the night of the 19th, because you're not allowed to do that. Because according to Rav Sheshes, when the Mishnah of Ayin Beis discusses a case of a man and a woman who are too impatient to wait another day, that's actually problematic. That's the first answer. However, Rav Ashi Amar, Nihi dechadasar lo ba'ishimur, Asiri miha ba'ishimur. Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi says that the concept of Gargaron, it's not usher, meaning it's not recommended, but it's not usher to do. Rav Ashi says the reason why our Gemara doesn't mention the case of relations on the 19th is because we actually got the numbers wrong, which is that the woman still has not observed her day of Shimur from the 10th day. Now, when we talk about the 10th day, this is in terms of Ziva, right? So in other words, on the 17th day, on day 17, she still hasn't observed her day of Tahara. That's why she can't have relations on the night of the 19th. Not because there's an Isra called Gargaron. So there's a fundamental...
I don't know why they call him Gargaron. The guy is already limited as is.
True. But the point is that if he waited another night, then it would become permissible. So there's a machlokes. There's a machlokes in this Gemara, what the nature of the omission in the Gemara is. Meaning, when the Gemara fails to mention the heter of having relations on the night of the 19th, is that because there's an Isra called Gargaron? That's according to Rav Sheshes. But Rav Ashi says there is no Isra called Gargaron. I mean, again, it's still not ideal. Rav Ashi still said you're not supposed to do it. But he says the reason why you're not allowed to have relations is because the woman has to observe another day of Shimur because she failed to observe her day of Shimur because she bled on the 17th. So those are two fundamentally different reasons.
Why isn't the 18th the Shimur day?
No, because she has to have a full day of Shimur since after the bleeding. So she bled on the night of the 17th. That's the night of the 17th. That's the 18th day. Is the 18th. So then she has to observe the 19th, and then she can have relations. Okay.
Yeah. The 18th.
Halacha. The day starts at night, right? So if she bleeds at the night of the 17th, her day of Shimur has to be until the night
the
of the 19th.
Day of
17th. Yeah, but the 19th is a different status already. It's not the same
but
status.
That was the Gemara's initial question. The Gemara said that the 19th is already the end of the original cycle, so why can't she have relations? So that's what this Machlokas is based on. Either it's because of Gargaron, because there's this issue of not waiting until the following night, or according to Rav Ashi, it's simply because she didn't observe Shimur from the previous day.
I'd say both reasons of the harm value are good enough.
Why not?
Because I still believe that the 19th day is really already starting a new cycle.
It is.
It's like a new thing already. One does have nothing to do with the other. I don't care if you didn't eat Shimur.
So we're gonna touch on that a little bit as we go on to the Gemara. But the Gemara is assuming at this stage that you need to, even if you're starting a new cycle, you still needed to observe Shimur from the day 17. That's the Gemara's assumption.
Now, is Shimur a 24-hour?
Shimur. It sounds like it's one halachic day. That's what it sounds like. Meaning, so whatever day you bled, so then.
The night of the 17th.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're saying... Okay.
So she bled on the 18th.
The next day is
the 19th. The next day is the 19th, so she has to...
The next day is the 18th.
It's the 18th, correct.
What about
Tahara? Tahara will be impacted depending on where she was up to.
Is it also there and then the same...
What do you mean?
If she touches Tahara,
yeah.
Coaching.
Yeah.
So is it the same like...
In other words, again, depending on what she's up to. She's a Nida, she's a Zava, that will obviously impact whatever she touches. It depends what day of her cycle she's up to.
I still don't understand how you could be Shomer a day of Ziva when you technically a nida.
Okay, we're gonna talk more about this as we go on to the Gemara. We'll see. We'll get back to it. Okay. The next case, shloshi yamim tamei, shloshi yamim tahorim. So now we have a woman who has three and three. This case becomes more complicated. The Gemara says mishameshes shnei yamim v'shuv ina mishameshes liola. She can only have relations for 2 days and that's it. Why? Because if she's three and three, so once she sees for 3 days as a zava, she's a zava gedola, which means that she now has to observe shiv and nikiyim. So that means the following. So let's say she bleeds days 1 through 3 of being a nida. Then she doesn't bleed on days 4 through 6. Then she bleeds on days 7, 8, and 9. So 7, 8, and 9, so 7 is the last day of nidas. 8 and 9 only make her into a zava katana. She's only bleeding 2 days of ziva. Then she has to observe 1 day. Then she can have relations for 2 days. Then when she bleeds subsequently for 3 days, now she's going to become a zava gedola, right? So that's why the Gemara says she can only have relations for 2 days. What about arba yamim tamei and arba yamim tamei? What if it's 4 and 4? So mishameshes yomecha v'shuv eina mishamesh liyolam. Here she can only have relations for 1 day, because again, once before she bleeds, she's a nida. Then she bleeds, then she's off 5, 6, 7, 8. Then she bleeds again 9, 10, 11, 12. She's a zava gedola. She has to observe shiv and nikiyim, etc. So that's already right, exactly. Then what about chamisha yamim tamei and chamisha yamim tahorim? Mishameshes shlosha yamim v'shuv eina mishamesh liyolam. So here, if she's 5 and 5, she can have relations for 3 days, because 1 through 5 she bleeds, then she's off 6 through 10, so there already she has more of a window, so therefore she could actually have 3 days where she's allowed to have relations, because again, 6 and 7 she's still a nida. So once she goes to the mikvah the night of the 7th, she has days 8, 9, and 10 where she's allowed to have relations, and then it's obviously going to, you know, ruin her cycle afterwards. What about shisha yamim tamei and b'shisha yamim tahorim?
Yeah. Again.
Yeah, I mean,
is that
yeah, forever.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah,
it's forever.
Meaning unless the cycle somehow either changes or something happens to change the pattern. No, meaning if this pattern, that's something else, right? In other words, unless if this cycle were to keep up the way that it is, then yes, they can never have relations again. Yeah. Well, that's a separate question. That's a separate issue. Whether such a marriage is even ideal or sanctioned or mutter to be involved in that's a separate issue. What? Okay. Then shisha yamim tamein v'shisha yamim tahorin mishameshes chamisha yamim v'shuv eina mishamesh liyolam. Again, the same thing. So if it's 6 and 6, so 1 through 6 she's a nida. She simply has to wait till the night of day 7 to go to the mikvah. Then she has the next 6 days. I'm sorry. The next five days to have, because again, day 7 she's still a nida. So then day 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 she can have relations. What about shiva yamim tamein v'shiva yamim tahorin? So here the Gemara kind of expresses it a little bit strangely. Mishameshes revia yameha mitoch chavches yamim. She can have relations for a quarter of the days out of a month, a quarter out of 28 days, right? So what's the logic behind that? So again, this case is actually pretty straightforward, because 1 through 7 she bleeds, so there she's in Hida, she goes to the mikvah that night, then she has the whole week to be Muteres, then when she bleeds the next week, so then she's going to become a Zava Gedola, then she has to observe Shiva Nikim for the following week. So basically every month, she has 1 week where she's Tahora. Now this next case is really complicated. Shmona Yomim Tamein, Ushmona Yomim Tahorin, Mishameshes Chamisha Asar Yom, Mitoch Arba'im Ushmona. If a woman has 8 and 8, so then she can have relations for 15 out of 48 days. How does that work? So basically, again, she bleeds on days 1 through 8. So by the 8th day, it's only her first day of Ziva. So at that point, she can have relations. In other words, she has to observe one clean day. Right, exactly. So that's fine. She has, no, 8. She has 8.
But after she has 8 days.
Correct. She has 7 days. She has 7 days of Torah. Basically, the assumption is that during her 4th week, she's not bleeding at all. And then by the 5th week, when she starts to bleed, it's going to ruin her count. The assumption is that there are a total of 15 out of 48 days when she's permitted to have relations. But the Gemara asks, Hanei Arbisar Havu. The Gemara says, if you do the math, there should only really be 14 days, because the assumption is that when the woman, and this kind of touches on what Mitch was saying before, when the woman bleeds on day 40, on the night of the 49th, to the end of this whole cycle, that's already the beginning of the new cycle, and therefore she should not be permitted to have relations that night, which means that there should only be 14 days of permissibility and not 15. So says the Gemara, no. Amar Rav Adar Bar Yitzchak, Zosomeres, you see that if a woman has potential days of nidus, but she doesn't bleed during those days can actually count towards her ziva, meaning to actually purify her from being a zava. The Ibayalu, because the Gemara raised the following question, the Gemara earlier back in the Flamed Vav. The Gemara has a very similar question. What if you have a woman who's in the period of Dam Leida, either the 7 days for a boy or the 14 days for a girl, but she doesn't actually bleed? So the Gemara raises the question, can those 7 or 14 days count towards her purification from being a Zava? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Tashma, Raza Shnayim Velishlishi Hipila. Let's say a woman bled for 2 days, and then on the third day she had a miscarriage, but ve'ena yodas mahipila, but she doesn't know whether it was a male, a female, just a piece of tissue that doesn't even make her make her tamei at all. So the Gemara says harizo sfeik zava sfeik leida. We have to treat the woman as a suffix. In other words, we're not sure is she a zava or is she a yoledes, and therefore mevia karban ve'ena nachal. She brings a karban, but she can't partake of the karban because it's only a suffix if she has to bring the karban in the first place. Vimei leida says she in roa bahen olin. The Gemara says, you see from here that if a woman is in those 7 or 14 days of potential damlida, but she's not actually bleeding, those days can count towards purification of a zava. So presumably in our case also, if a woman has days of nida where she's not bleeding, should also count towards purification of a zava. Yeah.
Is that true of all cases where anytime there's a suffix with a karban?
Yeah, in general, that's a general rule. Whenever you have a suffix, whether you bring a karban, so then you would bring the karban, but generally speaking, you would not be allowed to partake of it. Okay, so the Gemara says, so seemingly we've just proven that that just as in the case of Leda, if she's not actually bleeding, it can count towards purification of a Zava, so presumably the same should be true when it comes to days of Nida. Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar Papa Shaini Hasam, Kevan de Ika Lememar, Yoleda Zachari, V'cholahani Shiva Yeseri de Koyahavina La, Salki Lola Sfira Ziva. So the Gemara says, maybe it's not true. Maybe the only reason why in the case of Leda, we can count those days where she's not actually bleeding as days of purification for a Zava is because, again, we don't know if this was a male or a female, and on the chance that maybe this was a female, we're giving her an extra 7 days as a cushion just in case it was a female. So yeah, you could argue that during those extra 7 that we're giving her, she can count those extra 7 towards purification of a Zava. But that doesn't mean that in general, all the days of Nida or Leda where she's not bleeding can automatically count towards Ziva. So the Gemara says, that's a crazy answer. The Gemara says, Amar le Rafuna Bered Rav Yoshua Rav Papa, Bioledes Zachar Ikolis Apuke, Bioledes Nekeva Lekolis Apuke. The Gemara says, you're only Mesupak about whether she had a male, but not whether she had a female. Meaning, if you're saying that the reason why we're giving her this extra 7 days is because maybe, in other words, we're not sure whether she had a male or a female, so then the suffix is a 50-50 suffix. Meaning, in other words, we're not sure if it was a boy or a girl, and therefore the fact that we're allowing her to count these days where she's not physically bleeding towards the purification of a zava would seem to indicate that you can do that. The Gemara says, "Elulav shmamina, olin shmamina." So you see from here that you can count those days towards her purification when she's not physically bleeding. Now the Gemara goes back to the last two cases: Tisha Yamim Tamei and Tisha Yamim Tor. What if she has 9 and 9? She bleeds for 9, then she's off for 9. The Gemara says, "Bless you, mishameshes shmona yamim mitoch shmona asar." So she can have relations for 8 out of 18. Days. Again, if you do the math, so that means that, you know, her ninth day is the second day of Ziva, which means that she's only a Zava Katana, so she only has to observe that next day of being Tahar, and then she can have relations. So out of a total of 18 days, she's permissible for 8 of those days. What about Asar Yamim Tamei v'Asar Yamim Tahorim? So the Gemara says, Yimei Shimusha Kimei Zivasa V'chein Lemeya V'chein Le'elef. If a woman is 10 and 10, so that means that she's bleeding for 3 days as a Zava. She's a Zava Gedola, which means that she only is going to have 3 days of permissibility, which correspond to the days of Ziva, in other words, the 3 days of which she bled as a Zava. And the same would be true if the pattern extended for 100 or 1,000 days, namely, if she bled for 93 days, she would then be permissible for 93 days. If she bled for 930 days, she'd be permissible for 930 days as well. Hajar Alach Basim. Okay, so now the Mishnah continues. Dama Nida, Ubisar Habes, Mitamin Lach, and Umitamin Vision. This is a concept that we spoke a lot about earlier in this parak and in the previous parak, where the Mishnah says that if, let's say, the actual Dam of a Nida, or flesh from a corpse, are mitame, whether they're moist or whether they're dry. Aval hazova haniyah vaharok vahasheretz vahanavela vahashich vazera mitame lachin ve'in mitame nivation. However, when it comes to ziva, when it comes to spit or mucus or a sheretz or a nevela or shich vazera, those things are only mitame when they're moist, but not when they're dry. Ve'im yicholin lahashus halachs or lechamos shein mitame lachin umitame nivation. However, if you can soak it in water and you can basically reinvigorate it and make it moist again, so then it will be mitame regardless of whether it's moist or dry. V'chama hishriyasan b'foshrin meyesle. So according to the Tanna Kamma,
so you soak it. Anything that will absorb fluid.
Basically, if you can get it back to its initial state, then it will be mitame either way. And you have to. The Mishnah says you have to soak it in lukewarm water for 24 hours. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'sar hamiz yavish ve'eno yachol lahashos v'lachazor lechabos shayatar. Rabbi Yossi says if you have the flesh of a corpse that cannot be brought back to a state where it's moist, meaning if it's really dried up, so then he says no matter what you do to it, it's going to remain dark. So asks the Gemara, Menahani Mile, in other words, how do we know that Dam Nida is Metame both by touching it and by carrying it? So Amar Chizkiya de Amar Krava Hadava Ben Nida Sa Madve Kemosa. We compare the Nida herself to the Dam of the Nida, namely Mahi Metama Af Madve Metama. Just as a woman herself is Temeya when she's a Nida, so the blood that comes out of her body is also Temeya. Okay, the Gemara says Ashkechan Lach Yavish Menala. So how do we know that the same is true if the blood is dry? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Kra Yihyeh Bahava Yaso Yehei. The Torah says that she's going to be a Nida. It says Dam Yezova Bivsara. So the word Yihyeh indicates that whether it's dry or whether it's moist, the blood will be Temeya. So asks the Gemara Ve'emahani Mile Belach Vanasa Yavish Yavish Meikaro Menala. So the Gemara says maybe that pasuk only means that if I had blood that was initially moist and then dried out, that it's Temeya. But how do I know if the blood was dry all along that it's also Temeya? Vesu Hadis Nan Hamapelas Kamin Klipa Kamin Afar Kamin Sara Kamin Yavchushin Adumim Tatilamayim Imi Mochutame Minalan. So the Gemara says we also have a mission that we quoted earlier that if a woman miscarries something which either looks like a shell or like dust or like hair or like mosquitoes, if they have this reddish color to them, so you soak them in water, and if they dissolve, that's a sign that she's Temeya. That's a sign that these things actually had life to them. So what's the source for that? The Gemara says Yihyeh Ribuyahu. The word Yihyeh that we just cited earlier is a ribuy. It's an inclusionary term to teach me that in all of these scenarios, the woman is going to be Temeya. Yeah.
So just going back to the Mishnah for a second. It says,
Yeah.
Is that saying that
if you can't,
theoretically they can be soaked and revert?
Yeah.
You don't actually have to do it.
Correct. In other words, if it's able to be brought back by soaking it, then it would potentially be metallic.
So what do they do? They look at this sheretz and say, oh, I think this sheretz can be brought back.
Yeah, I assume. Well, again, we'll see this in the Gemara later on. But basically, there's some point where something becomes so dried out that there's no way to bring it back at that point. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see that in the Gemara later on. We'll see later this week. We'll talk more about that. Yeah.
You just have to say theoretically.
Yeah. Correct. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Imahi osa mishkav v'moshav l'tami yadim v'latami v'gadim avdama nami osa mishkav v'moshav l'tami yadim v'latami v'gadim." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe we should draw the following comparison. Just as Anita herself, we know that if let's say Anita sits on a chair or lies on a bed, and then another person sits on that same chair or lies on that same bed, not only does that person become tamei, but the clothing that he's wearing, even if the clothing didn't touch the bed itself, become tamei as well." We spoke about this before, so that's true. What? That's related to Tumas Medris, yeah. So that's a halakha by Anita herself. So I could have argued maybe the same should be true for the blood of Anita, meaning if you sit on the blood of Anita, so maybe not only do you become Tameh, but maybe your clothing should become Tameh. So the Gemara asks, Atu Dama Bar Mishkav Moshavu. But this is blood. Blood doesn't lie on something. It's an inanimate object. So how could you take the concept of Tumas Mishkav Moshav that pertains to a woman who's Anita and extend it to blood, which is an inanimate object?
So that's a Kal V'Chomer almost. A woman who's Anita.
Yeah.
Because of her blood. Sits on something and
okay, so
comment,
we're gonna we're
the blood itself,
we're gonna discuss that logic in a different context in a little bit.
That's illogical.
You know, to me, it's completely logical.
The concept of Mishkav Moshav.
Maybe you only can be tummy if the blood is within you, but once it's removed,
okay.
We're going to discuss.
Sitting on it and your blood isn't even touching it, and it's.
We actually discuss logic like this. We discussed logic like this earlier, and we're going to discuss it again later on regarding a zava regarding a zav. Again, we'll hopefully get back to that. But at this stage, the Gemara just assumes that blood is not something which is subject to the concept of mishkav moshav. Meaning, it's true that the blood is emanating from her body, but it doesn't really matter because blood can't sit, blood can't lie on anything. So the whole concept of mishkav moshav doesn't seem to make it's matame. Okay, a lot of things are matame, but they're matame in different ways. You can't write. In other words, blood can't be matami with mishkav amusha. Just like, you know, as we'll see in a second, you know, there may be other things that are not subject to every type of tuma in the world. Just like you wouldn't say that, you know, a bal keri is not matami as a nida because they're two different types of tuma, right? They're both tami, but they're very different. So the Gemara now asks, but according to your logic, even minugas bas mishkav amushavi de itchrich krolam haute. What about a stone of a house that contracted saras? Now, obviously, a stone is an inanimate object, so presumably there shouldn't be any tuma there at all. And in fact, there is no tuma there at all, but the only reason why we know that there's no tuma on a, in other words, if I walk walk into a house, let's say, where the stones have tsaras on them, that I'm not tameh, is only because of a gzeras hakasav. What's the gzeras hakasav? The Sanya, the Braisa says, yochol tehei evin menugas osa mishkav moshe l'tamei adam l'tamei v'gadim. I might have said as follows. Let's say I sit on a rock, on a stone that has tsaras. I would say, not only am I tameh with tsaras, but my clothing, even if it didn't touch the rock, become tameh also. And in fact, the Gemara says, v'dinu. And actually, I could have argued this logically, that this makes sense. Namely, umazav she'enu metamei b'via osa mishkav moshe l'tamei adam l'tamei v'gadim. When a zav enters a house, the people in the house do not become tameh. And yet, if a zav sits on a chair or lies on a bed, and then you sit on that same chair or lie on the same bed, you do become tameh. So even menugash metamei b'via in odin shemetamei mishkav moshe l'tamei adam l'tamei v'gadim. When I enter a house that has tsaras, I become tameh automatically. So I would have said kal v'chomer when I sit on a stone that has tsaras, even if my clothing don't touch the stone, I should become tameh, and my clothing should become tameh. That's what I would have said. Talmud lomar hazav v'lo even v'lo even menugas is a gzeres hakasav, that this concept of mishkav moshav is limited only to a zav. It does not apply to a stone that contracts tsaras. So the Gemara points out, but taima demia tekra halav hachi mitama. The Gemara says the only reason why we're saying that a stone that has tsaras does not make you tameh with mishkav moshav is because there happens to be a gzeres hakasav called hazav v'lo even menugas. The Torah excludes a stone that has tsaras, implying that if not for that gzeres hakasav, it sounds like you should have become tameh from that stone, which is problematic because that seems to go against what we just said about damida, which is an inanimate object. How could you possibly, in other words, what was the havamina? I mean, how could you have even thought that you would become tameh mishkav v'moshav by sitting on a stone that has tsaras to it? So the Gemara says, no, umina. I'll prove to you from the case itself that it actually was a valid havamina. Lav miyomar hazav v'lo even menugas, hachana miyomar kra, asher hi yoshev esalav, hi v'lo dama. We have another exclusion that excludes dam hanida from tumas mishkav v'moshav. Imahi mitama be'evin misama, af mad v'nami mitama be'evin misama. So there's a special unique halacha that pertains only to a nida and to a zav, which is called evin misama. Evin misama means the following. Let's say a nida or a zav sit on top of a very heavy rock, and there's a kli underneath that rock that is susceptible to becoming tameh. So even though they don't touch the kli, even though the rock is not movable, there's a gzeres hakasav that the kli underneath becomes tameh. That's called evin misama. Now that chiddush is limited only to a nida and to a zav. So the Gemara says, I could have argued that just as the nida herself is subject to this chiddush called evin misama, maybe her blood, let's say the nida's blood is sitting on top of a rock and there's a kli, maybe the kli should become tameh also. So Amar Ravashi, no, Amar Kra, Vahanose Osam, Osam Miyutahu. The word Osam is a miyut. It teaches me that the blood of Anida and the Ziva of Azav are not Mitame be'evin Misama, and therefore the Gemara's conclusion is that the whole concept of Tumas Mishkav Moshav does not make any sense by inanimate objects. And don't tell me it's just because there's a technical Xeris Akasav that excludes the stone that contracted Saras. No, really, fundamentally, this whole concept doesn't make any sense by inanimate objects. The whole concept only applies by a woman who's Anida or by a man who's Azav. Yeah, the Kalachomer is rejected, yeah.